So when I did a version of this sermon at Manal School earlier this week, I had a pile of stones in the middle of our auditorium. And when I entered here this morning, I thought this sermon was meant to be preached to all of you this morning, because my eye immediately went to this pile of stones over here. It's perfect because it is a demonstration of what was read this morning. And what was read this morning was about the Israelites' journey. The Israelites have traveled a long way. We, too, have traveled a long way. They've come out of Egypt. They've crossed through the wilderness, through a river, on a dry riverbed, and are now ready to enter the place that God has promised them. The Israelites have traveled a long way. Right before they go into the promised land, the God who called them out of Egypt asked them to wait, to pause, to reflect, to remember. To remember the God who has been with them from the beginning. In order to remember, God asks them, take stones from the middle of the river that you crossed and make a memorial, a sign, a symbol of your remembrance, so that when your children ask about me, you can tell them. And when their children ask about me, you can tell them, a memorial, a sign, a symbol. Remember, Israelites, who you are. You are a people whose ancestors followed God across the river and who God delivered into the land that he promised you. One of my most favorite vivid memories I have of Thanksgiving holidays growing up were the potatoes. Well, potatoes are a pretty common staple in many traditional Thanksgiving meals in our country. Our Thanksgiving table was a demonstration of just how many different ways you could prepare and cook a potato. We had potato and vegetable soup as an appetizer. We had the traditional mashed potatoes and the sweet potato casserole with marshmallows on top. But we also had baked potatoes and small fingerling potatoes and vegetables baked in the oven tossed with herbs and onions. We also put potatoes in our stuffing. And because we had so many extra potatoes at the end of the meal, so much extra potato material to work with, we would take all the extra and bake it in a cheese and egg and vegetable casserole for the morning after. Growing up, there weren't many times during the year that I would be reminded of my Celtic heritage, but during Thanksgiving is one time that I remembered. My dad's side of the family immigrated from Ireland to the U.S. through Ellis Island and landed in the Hudson River Valley of New York. Along with many other Irish families, they came just after the Great Famine in Ireland from 1845 to 52. The potato crop, upon which a third of Ireland's population depended on for food, particularly because it grew well in Ireland's soil, had become infected with disease. I never knew my great-grandfather, and I've never been to Ireland, but as my third and fourth generation Irish-American family all sat around the table each year, surrounding potatoes, I was given a small glimpse into who I was, my identity, whose. After the meal, the old black and white pictures would come out, and every year the adults would argue in ever more elevated tones as the night would go on, as you can imagine an Irish-American family would. The debate was over the identity of the people in the pictures and how they were related to one another and to us. In any case, these were my people. This is where they were from. It's where I was from. I can't imagine the incredible diversity and variety of stories represented in this church that holds all of you. When I preached this earlier this week to my students, you can imagine how many stories are represented in the auditorium of Manal School.
As an international school, we have 22 countries represented this year. For some of them, this will be their first American Thanksgiving that they ever experience. But I offered to them, they all have holidays during which they have time with their families to reflect on who they are. During these times, we are reminded that we belong to a story. We're also reminded that while it's true that family has these memories, it's also true that family can be hard. Family brings memories of difficult people and frayed relationships and betrayals from people who are supposed to be on our side. My prayer for you today, friends, is that God will open to you new doors where families might reach through to include and to find a place for you there. Growing up, I always liked stories that had large families, and now would be a good time to put that PowerPoint slide up, if we have it. Yes. Oh, do I have the power? Oh, no problem. That's okay. The PowerPoint slides I put up were rather silly. But there are plenty modern iterations of family. I think one of my favorite depictions of God's family, well, first of all, I'll tell a little bit about the pictures. I put up pictures of modern family, for those of you who have seen that television show. I put up pictures of Laura Ingalls Wilder, that television show. I put up pictures of The Waltons, you all know that television show. I was always attracted to shows that had plenty of siblings, plenty of people to remind me of families with large siblings and many, many relationships. But I think one of my favorite depictions of God's family is Kelly Latmore's depiction of God in Christ as the Motherhead. And I'll just describe the slide. Maybe some of you have seen it, but it's the picture of Christ, but the picture is simply a hen with her arms outstretched and with many little chicks below her. It's to remind us of these several places in Scripture where Christ is depicted with language of wings under which God's children is invited, with us as chicks. We are a family with many chicks. So, like the Israelites, we are reminded that we too are part of God's family. Christ the King Sunday gives us the opportunity to remember who we are as a family of Christians, because we are asked to remember whose we are. The head of our family is Christ. I will say that again, because that statement is a call to hope and a call to comfort and to assurance during this moment in our country's political moment. The head of our family, friends, is Christ. It is true that in this moment, we may feel blinded by the scorching of the earth from irresponsible climate policy. It is true that in this moment, we might feel burned by the immigration rules that restrict human beings from escaping violence. It is true that in this moment, we might feel heavy from the weight of carrying anger and sadness. In this moment, we might feel discouraged that despotism seems to have won the day. In this moment, we might feel baffled by the reality that flagrant disregard for the laws of our country is embodied. In this moment, we might feel empty, we might feel betrayed, we might feel just confused. Friends, these feelings are legitimate, justified, and it is healthy to fully experience and sit in these feelings and thoughts. But there will be a time when experiencing creeps into dwelling. And friends, we must not dwell. There is too much at stake, and if you are hearing my words, you likely have too much power and responsibility to become apathetic. We cannot become despondent. We must not become despairing. Maybe for some of you it was yesterday, maybe for some of you it will be next week, but all of us will come out on the other side of these feelings, and when we do, it's our duty to act. It is our responsibility to do what we can with what we have. And friends, I pray we might not fool ourselves, and that we may remember and know that we have been given and gifted with much. Thanks be to God that there are no political parties, governing administrations, or political agendas that have the final authority in this world we call home. The head of our family is Christ. And as such, only Christ holds the ultimate judgment. Perhaps we are guilty of having been wrong about this in the past. It is wise to be humble and to know that we've forgotten and thought that Christ was the champion of our pet ideas or political agendas. Maybe some friends and neighbors and family still think of Christ as the king of what they actually are their preferred perspectives. Maybe it's us. May we constantly be in prayer that we are not crafting and worshiping idols of our own making. May we be vigilant in our vision of Christ and only Christ who sits on the throne. The epistle passage for Christ the King Sunday is from the book of Revelation. It's John's account of Christ's final return at the end of time. In this passage, he describes, in particular, the identity of Christ. It reveals the risen, ascended Christ as what verse 5 calls the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Christ is identified with the God of Israel, the King of Kings. He was not just a teacher, not just a prophet, not just a good guy. He is divine and one with the King above whom there are no kings. What happens when Christ is revealed? John calls us to look. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. The Greek word apostae, I apologize for my pronunciation, suggests something more than the mere act of seeing. The translation I found suggests a kind of recognition, a coming to see the truth. It seems to me that verse 7 implies that each person on earth will not just physically see, but also recognize the identity of Christ the King in the final days. His return to the earth over which he alone reigns reveals, so that all will know, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When God asked the Israelites to build this monument of stones to remind them that they belong as a part of God's family, it was a reminder. It was a reminder to tell their children and those who came after that they were included in the family of God. It was also to remind them about the ultimate head and authority of the family of God. Of all the powers and principalities that play at falsely co-opting God's power, Christ is the one whose reign outshines all other powers. So, as we leave this place for our Thanksgiving celebrations this upcoming week, whether we are returning to our own families or to families who welcome us in, may we attend to those monuments of family life that remind us that we belong. For me, it was potatoes. And as we attend to those monuments in our family patterns, may they remind us that our ultimate allegiance is to the family of God, the God whose reign and rule will prevail above all others. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we will respond to the word with a time of singing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.